Well, it just got like quiet on its own. Hi, everybody. Just really quick, you guys all know who I am. But if you're for some reason listening to this on a recording and you don't know, my name's Josh. I'm not a pastor here. And I'm going to be talking, unless Brandon doesn't let me come back up here after today, for the next 3 weeks about media. And so I got my Bachelor of Fine Arts from ASU in film. I minored in theater and I minored in business. And I'll talk a little bit more about it, but I really like media. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. But I also care about it a lot. And I think it's a good thing to talk about in our culture because it's everywhere. Can't escape it. So anyway, on that note, let's pray. And ask God to be here and to help get some good things for people. So, God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you're big. I thank you that you care about us. I thank you that you know us. I thank you that you forgive us. I thank you that you understand everything there is to know about us. And God, I just pray over these next 3 weeks that we walk away not with a stronger sense of media is bad or this is that or that's this, but we walk away with a stronger sense that there is a God who desperately wants a deeper relationship with us. And it would be a blessing to us and everybody we're around if we do what we can on our end to make that connection deeper, to build that relationship, to open the doors to it. Yeah, that's really what this is about, is letting you into our hearts and not other things, allowing you to be our God that puts up rules and has regulations for us, that if we meditate on them, it'll do us good, and being our friend that can comfort, that can heal. And God, we look in other places for both those things. So I pray, that's what I hope at the end of this 3 weeks, God. And I pray you'd help that to become true by your strength, your grace. Amen. Okay. So it's a little bit tough to talk for 3 weeks about media because you all are out there and you all know this guy's going to talk about media for 3 weeks. And what I know he's not going to say is you all should watch it more. Right? So you're like, what is there to talk about that for 3 weeks? So for the first this first week, we're going to talk about, I'm just going to ask you guys some general questions. And if you could, over this week, if one or two of those questions hit you, take them home and think about them. And just try to ask yourself them throughout the week. Because I feel like if there's going to be any change in the way we engage with media, it's going to have to somewhat come from something you realize is true within yourself. We get data thrown at us all the time. And I don't know how many media fasts I've been part of, how many habit changes things, accountability groups, where eventually over time, everybody reverts to pretty much exactly where they were before it all started. So we can throw data, we can talk about it, and a lot of this stuff, we all kind of know it, but it doesn't matter. So week one is, I'm going to ask you guys some questions, we're going to talk about some kind of big general things. Week two, we'll talk about data. We're going to actually look at some numbers, dive in a little bit more, and maybe try to hammer some of that stuff home. In week three, I want to talk about closeness with God. That's actually where I want to go with this. Because I don't actually think, I think it's easy in Christianity, to one, because our culture is so strong, either kind of become one with the culture where we view media the same way the culture does, or the same way that whatever particular sect of thought does, we'll kind of buy into an ideology and then that just becomes the right way to deal with it. This stuff is bad. This stuff is good. this is okay, this is not okay. You know, Twitter's okay, Instagram's bad, whatever. Like, with the, you'll find these funny silos that you're like, rap's bad, but Christian rap's okay. Okay. And I don't think that's actually the way God wants us to think about it. The answer is not just do less. It's not that black and white. The answer is a relationship. And if anybody here has friends, they realize relationships are not super black and white. If you have no friends, I'd try to find one. If you don't have one, tell somebody you don't, and you know, maybe they'll help you out. So, okay, so with that being said, I'm going to start out with this. I love media. My favorite form of media is movies. I love them. 90-minute to 150-ish minute, single story, three-act structure, love them. I loved being a film student. I loved plowing through top 100 lists. You're like, top 100? Yes. I loved it. I enjoy it. I enjoy the art form of it. If you can very easily, if I'm not careful, talk about a particular movie for hours. Okay? I love it. I feel like when I talk about media, this is a very broad umbrella. I am talking about movies, TV shows, websites, Snapchat, Instagram, books, podcasts, audiobooks, music, everything. Okay? So when I'm rolling all these things into one big ball, and you might be like, ah! But hopefully it becomes a little bit more clear why as we go on. I like media a lot because I feel like it can promote cultural understanding. And hopefully as I talk about some of these things, I don't lose all credibility with people in the room. But I might, hopefully not. One of the things I really love is I like foreign films. And I like foreign music too, for different reasons and some similar ones. But I remember I had a very, I don't know, I think a view that can kind of be easy, like Europe's worldly, which it is, but very simplistic view of the problems in Europe. And I got to, as I was watching lots of movies, I got to watch a lot of films that were made in Europe after World War I and after World War II. One of them in particular was a set of films are called Italian Neorealism. It was a period in time where Italian filmmakers, they didn't use actors. They didn't light shots. They wrote stories. They filmed them in real places with people that didn't act. And they made some of the most gut-wrenching, troubling films I've ever seen about what life was like. And I watched several of them. Watched some from France, watched some from Poland. And my sympathy for that continent grew. I went, sure, you've had a version of Christianity that absolutely and utterly did not answer your questions when you needed it most. We're heading down the same path as Europe without the amount of blood that is soaked into European soil. We have no idea. We have no idea. I grew a lot of sympathy for them. I went, huh. Right now I'm in the process, for several different reasons, of listening through the top rap artists of all time. Why would you do that? They talk about nasty things, they're gross, they're this, they're that, they're whatever. But as I engaged with certain things regarding race, as I read things about the news and the Christian response to them, and partially because some of these other experiences I had watching movies and understanding, I went, I think there's things I don't understand. And it's been, and I don't know how far I'm actually going to get with it. It could be I accomplish my purposes before I do. But it's been very eye-opening to me to listen your opening, to listen to them, listen to what was hard, what the thought processes were, to listen to some of the guys that were very popular in the 90s and realize that the 16-year-old boy that was listening to this, that was taking this as truth, is now 40 and has kids of his own. And all of a sudden, some things like Black Lives Matter, all that, I understood that I didn't understand. So there's a place for media where it can be very powerful and it can be used to communicate things that otherwise we wouldn't understand. Now, it doesn't mean all of you should go watch foreign films or go listen to rap music, right? But I'm just there's a place where this is really powerful and well used is amazing for bridging gaps, helping people understand when it has a purpose. There's books that I really like. Everything can be different for different people. That have really communicated truths to me that I've really connected with. My favorite book of all time is War and Peace. Well, you guys probably haven't read that one. It's very long. But it was the first time in my life that I understood in a way that God could be happy with me if I just lived my life before him. I didn't have to do anything special. I didn't have to be great. That he could be honored by me living my life with what he had before me. So, different things. One movie that has really encouraged me personally, and it wasn't even a particularly good film, was the first Hellboy movie. I'm just curious, who's seen that? My wife. Yeah, a couple of you. Okay. Yeah, a couple of you. Okay. So, and again, not something that you should necessarily go out and watch. Well, I don't think there's anything particularly atrocious in it. Theology's a little off if you wanted to take it that far, but but there's a bit at the end of Hellboy. In my whole life, I have struggled with identifying as somebody who is a bad, broken person. I have felt that. I have carried that. It's sort of been a brand on my back in a way. Like, you are bad. You are broken. You're evil. And for those of you who've seen the movie, you know there's a point where Hellboy's dad, his adopted dad, died. And Hellboy gets thrown across, and he's like, Hellboy kind of has a choice to do a good or a bad thing, really good or really bad. And they're like, you have a choice. Your father gave you that, to do good or bad. And you got given that chance. And for me, although for most people, they watch that movie and they're like, whatever. For me, that deeply connected. So there's places where we can have individual experiences with media that are different from other people. There's places where we can have places of understanding. I read God is Not Great because I was around several people that that was something that they really adhered to. They were the neo-atheists. And so I was like, I want to understand where you guys are coming from. So I read that book. I like Instagram. I don't have it on my phone anymore. Took off a while ago. I like it. I like the pictures. There's people that take amazing photographs that can have amazing walls. It's really cool. I've had Snapchat on my phone. There's people that use that super well, super creatively. There was a clothing company that they redid their own version of The Office in their corporate world using short Snapchat stories. It was hysterical. Twitter is a great way to share information. Generally, if a social media app is trending up, I'll install it on my phone for 3 days and then uninstall it, just to kind of know what's going on, what's shifting, what's changing. And that doesn't. This is not like, oh, this is what you should do. It's just, I feel like when I talk about this stuff, it can be really easy for it to be like, well, Josh just hates this stuff. I don't. I love it. I love it. In all forms of it. So, but as we're talking about it, I want us to ask some questions. So first I want to talk about, what are we going for? Can somebody go ahead and open up Psalm 1:1 and read that out loud? 1 and 2. That's good. Okay, so what are we going for? Now, this is really high, and you're like, Josh, this isn't possible. And I don't know. But to be people that can meditate on the law of the Lord. Day and night's a high bar. I get that. I don't really know how it works when I have to go to work. But put that in your brain. Like, somewhere, that this is what Psalms opens with. And God, as big and as powerful as he is, I don't think did that on accident. Didn't just happen to be the first verse that was there. He didn't put it in the bingo machine and that's what came out. There's a reason for it. All right, next, can somebody read Psalm 139:13-24? 24, it's a little long. NIV would be great, because I think that's what the house Bibles will be. Okay, thank you. Awesome. Okay, so we're looking for, and believe somehow this is possible, to have a relationship with God where you are aware that everything about you he designed. Everything. Aware of the fact that he thought you were special enough to knit you together. Where his thoughts are precious to us. Like, you know, and really, I mean, we can kind of say it in Bible studies, like, oh yeah, this is his thoughts are precious to me. But really, when you're going about your day, what's more precious to you? Where God can search you and know your heart. Now, God doesn't need any time to search you and know your heart. He knows it like that, because he's like that, right? He made you, he's everywhere, he's big, he's all that. But you and I don't hear it or understand it or get led by God like that. It takes time, patience, to ask God, is there any offensive way in me, and sit there long enough to have him respond. I like to do that one really quick. Or usually I have like a preset list of like the three things about me that I know are annoying. Oh yeah, yeah, that one, and that one. Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay. And then I'm gonna read one more. In 1 John 3:11. If you want to turn there, 1 John 3:11. Okay. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life, and because we love our brothers, anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. We'll stop there. That we can live a life, another just high out there thing, is that we as Christians can live a life where we are laying down our lives for each other. And this one can be really hard for me. And I think it's hard in our culture, because our culture is very not lay down your life focused. It is very much self-indulge. And we that are, you know, a little bit older than me and younger, 31, if you're a little older than that and younger, that is all you've been permeated with your entire life. If you think that has not infused into your brain, you're not being wise. You are not being wise. So, that's what the things that I want us to be looking to do. To understand God's thoughts, to hold them precious, to meditate on them, to realize you've been made, He cares about you, He loves you, and to love each other and be willing to lay down our lives for each other. And I feel like media can help with that and can also get in the way. And like I said, I am talking, when I'm asking these things, again, ESPN.com, ESPN the TV version, any social media platform, any website, any book, any podcast, any music, any video game, any movie, any TV show, any YouTube show. I want you to roll these underneath there. So, one of the things that I want us to ask is, we're thinking about media and what we're watching and what we're consuming. And this is the first question. We're like, okay, so there's this really high out there idea that almost feels impossible. And we're going to talk about that more in week 3. But in that, media is a big part of our life. And so I want you to ask, when you're deciding if you're going to watch something, listen to something, and this is just because this is one of the most common arguments I hear. Follow somebody on Instagram, open up your phone and get on Instagram. Are you trying to defend where you are, or are you trying to get where you need to be when you're consuming that content? And real life example, like, you know, conversations that like I'll have will be sort of like, well, you know, right now I'm really tired. And so, you know, we watch X amount of TV every night and we're just tired and it's okay for now, you know? Okay. Is it? I want you to really ask that. Like, am I just defending where I'm at now, my current situation? Oh yeah, well, I'm just doing this quick. I'm just looking at this. It's fine. I like it. It's okay. It's entertaining. Whatever. Or are you actually thinking about where God wants you to go, and does this fit into that? And I think, again, it's not just a simple, like, just watch things less. But actually, before God, be like, is this actually a good thing between me and you? Actually, for real? You know, one thing that we do, we'll talk about this more week 2, but we have a tendency to grossly underestimate how much time we spend on this stuff. Just, you do. We all do. I'm like, what was this? Am I just like, this is just where I'm at, and this is okay. God loves you where you are. Right? No matter what you've done, where you've been, He loves you where you are. But are you just trying to defend where you are? This is my current state, so that makes it okay. We can justify anything. Right? Like, real. We can make anything sound good. Thing number 2 that I want you to just ask yourself as you're thinking about media you're consuming, books you're reading, music you're listening to, podcasts you're listening to, books on tape you're listening to, YouTube shows you're watching. And it's the donut question, okay? So media is a funny thing in that we have this weird way of judging it. And I think because we've already, in our mind, we've already sorted it out as entertainment, so it's okay. But if I like it, it makes it fine. In most other areas of our life, with our nutrition, with how we spend our time, just because we like something, we go, hey, there's actually an inherent consequence here. I really like donuts. We all understand if I eat 5 donuts, there are inherent consequences to that choice. For whatever reason, media has a tendency to escape that level of questioning. I'm okay. Like, especially because a lot of times it's sort of like this, 5 minutes, 2 minutes. Oh yeah, talking. Okay. I mean, am I wrong? So, like, is this really good in realizing that everything we choose to do with our time has a consequence? Okay? It's not just a freebie. Next question. Are you using, and this one will be a little hard for some people, and try to take the spirit of this. Are you using messages about God, books about God, maybe even in some situations worship songs about God, as a replacement for actual time with God? We live in a very knowledge-centric culture where it is very easy to listen to lots of things about God, hear lots of things about God, and not actually spend time with the person that makes it all true. And so even, I would question, and again, not that it's bad. Sermons are good. Teaching is good. Books about God are good. This is why this is not a black and white thing, but question, like, oh man, you know, I don't know if this rings true for anybody, but I didn't have a quiet time this morning, but it's okay. I'll kind of listen to a sermon on my way to class. Or maybe not even. Are you using knowledge about God as a replacement for actual time with God? You know, we'll talk about this more in week 3, but I think a lot of times we find rest and solace in places where there's actually no rest. And we wonder why we're still tired all the time. We're burnt out all the time. And we're too busy doing things. You know, would it be better for you to listen to that sermon about God? And not, and there can be good thoughts there, but I just want you to ask the question, or would it be better for me to actively try to take that time to understand how to go through my day with God, to pray to Him throughout the day? And I would challenge that with anything where you're kind of like multitasking, ask that question, whether it's a spiritual thing or not. Because we live in a culture, again, that has really pushed us into being efficient. Listen to your books at 1.5 times the speeds. Your brain can change faster. Don't waste your time. And yet, in doing that, the very person that can make us the most impactful and the most efficient never actually gets in there in our lives while we're so busy becoming impactful and efficient. Another example would be, you know, especially you, some of you are in college, so you guys might have to spin back a little bit. But think about it this way. If you're in a class and you don't understand something, it's different when you look it up online and figure it out. Your experience in the class changes than when you go and actually talk to the professor, or in some places a TA, about it. Because you develop a relationship with them. It changes the class. It changes the dynamic of how things go for you in that class when you actually go to the person. It's different. Whether or not that's always the right thing to do depends on the class and all that stuff. But you get that general analogy of it's different when you go to the person. Are we just intaking too much? Now, this is the one place where I'm going to sort of be like, okay, I want you to just actually ask the question. Am I just reading too many books, watching too many movies, on Instagram too much, on Snapchat too much, on Twitter, whatever, right? Whatever your vice or several vices are. In 1941, a movie was made called Sullivan's Travels. And Sullivan's Travels, I think John McCrae was the actor, but he played this guy that he wanted to make serious movies that dealt with communism and problems in America. And they're like, dude, you're a comedian actor. Like, what are you doing? Just make comedies. That's what people like. And so he went off on this long journey of soul searching. And somewhere through the whole process, he winds up in a really poor part of America. While he's there and he's stuck there, he watches people come in for their Sunday night film. And the whole community comes together to the church and they watch a comedy together. And he changes his mind. And he goes, I'm going to make comedies because I realize making people laugh is a good thing. And I want to encourage these people. And I watch these people whose lives are really hard. They come in, they have their 2 hours of joy. They experience it together. I mean, probably then it was more like an hour and a half, but whatever. And I want to be part of that. And I think that that is true. I think it's good to make people laugh. I think it's good to have things you come together and enjoy. But the thing I want to challenge you with, are we using that same argument that might have been true when you watched one movie a week and we all came together here Sunday night together to watch it and it was truly a communal experience versus now where you're binge watching something and you're binge watching something different and you're binge watching something different and we're not even doing it at the same time, and even though you watched it last year and I'm watching it now, you don't even remember it because you binge watched it and it just fell out of your head. Do we use that same argument? Oh, it's entertaining, it's fun. But it was different back then. I like that movie a lot. I think there's a lot of truth in it. I think there's some wisdom in it. But it was different. We were watching a Donald Duck cartoon with my kids. I like to show them old cartoons because I think they're more artistically interesting generally. And I think this one was made in 36, 37. And in it, Donald Duck goes and makes some popcorn. And he sits down in front of his fireplace that he's made and he starts reading a book. And Chip and Dale show up and try to steal his popcorn and hilarity ensues. Man, things are so different now. That was what he had to do. There's not even a TV in his house. There's no smartphone. He has to make his popcorn, sit down and read his book. Our world has changed a whole lot, and we just kind of have accepted it and become part of the norms of it. I'm going to see if I can find it really quick here. So just ask that question. Is this really like, he's taking in too much? Like, really? Like, what good is this doing me? All right. It slips into cracks in our life and it causes us to make decisions that, you know, we know better. This is from a book called Mrs. Piggle Wiggle. It's a children's book. Written in 1947. So the human race hasn't changed at all. We just have more access to make dumb decisions. So the premise, the setup here is Mary is being very naughty. She's the daughter. She's probably like 6 or 7 or something like that. And she's being very sassy to her mom and to everybody. That night at dinner, Mary was quite normal, but after dinner, her daddy said, "Scoot the dishes off the table, Wean, your mammy's tired." And his dear little Wean, Mary, instead of jumping up and doing what she was told, pulled her mouth down until she looked like a sad jack-o'-lantern, squinted up her eyes and said, "I'll do it because I want to, but not because you tell me to. Anyway, you eat here. Why don't you clear the table?" She blinked her eyes rapidly. Her father looked as though he might be going to give her a spanking. But then he noticed that it was time for the news. So instead, he went into his study, turned on the radio, and lit his pipe. Nobody here, I am sure, has ever had something they should have engaged with, paid attention to, and whipped this thing out instead. At least he had to get up, go light his pipe, and turn the radio on. Took a little bit more effort. Human beings haven't changed. We're still irresponsible. We still don't want to engage with things that are hard. Men don't want to take it when they need to. Just used to listen to the radio instead. Get up, go light his pipe, smoke it. Another question, and this is not specific to media, but just, and this is more for the men. If we go to 1 Corinthians 14, 33 and 34 and 35. I'll go ahead and read. I'll read it. I'll give you guys a second to get there if you want to. And before you decide exactly what I'm going to say about this, just let me get through it and make my point. Because there's a lot of things you could talk about in this whole passage. But there's something here that I think is true and a little universal. All right, 1 Corinthians 14, 33, and a little bit onward. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. And in all congregations of the saints, women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but they must be in submission as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it's disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. Okay, so there's a lot of things about that that are really kind of hard to unpack. I've spent a decent amount of time trying to wrap around the history of this and all that. And not, you know, women speaking in churches. That's not what I want to talk about. The thing that I want to talk about, and this is for the guys, is somehow, and I don't know exactly what was going on here. Maybe they had just women that were way out of line in some way. I have no idea. But at some level, we as men are supposed to be so spiritually in tune and engaged that our spouses could come and ask us anything and we have an answer. At least when I read that, I get that out of it at least. Is what you're watching and what you're doing leading you down that path towards that? And you're like, Josh, that's like way up here. I'm like, I know, but if that's it, you know, and you could line the girls up too and roll Proverbs 31 in front of them and be like, Instagram ain't helping you with this. Say what? Oh, I could take down Pinterest too. I mean, I got... One of my goals, Mike O'Rangers, he told me, he's like, I really hope you rant at some point. And I'm like, one of my goals is to make it through this without ranting. But anyway, which will be hard for me to do. But think about that. Like, where are you, again, what are you defending where you're at, or are you thinking about where you're going? Like, that's a level of responsibility that we as millennials especially, but we just don't want it. Oh, my wife, she's strong. She's independent. She's like Wonder Woman, right? Well, I mean, yes. Somehow that is more empowered if the men are spiritually engaged at a very intense level. And, I got married when I was relatively young, especially by today's standards. I was 22, just turned 22. And you get less time. As you get older, you have kids, everything gets less. And so when you're thinking about man or woman, you're like, especially as you younger guys, and in a world right now where we are told, indulge yourself. Be happy, enjoy. And we'll come up with Christian-y ways of like remorphing it into like, take care of yourself for ministry. And we're still not actually turning to God. And we've been in the church a while. Man, we do it. We can justify anything. Justify anything out of even using this. So, okay, a quick thought on news. News is something that for some people is a really big deal. They read it. They can read articles. Read. At one point, news was something that was a service. TV stations did news. They had news portions. couple hours, they lost money on them. It was considered just a write-off. You're doing this as a service for the community to help them, to inform them, to be a blessing. And we're just going to lose money on it. And every year, we're just going to accept that loss. And somebody called CNN came along and proved you could make a ton of money doing this if you did it the right way. News anymore, and this does not matter if it's blogging news, Twitter news. For some people, people are like, oh, it's Twitter. It's more real. And I'm like, are you insane? Not ranting. Foxnews.com, MSNBC, CNN, HuffPo, whatever. Some of the European stuff, some of the foreign stuff can be a little bit more service-oriented still. But here in America especially, and over there too, but it's different dynamics. But it is not here to serve you or to inform you. It is designed to get you amped up so you come back later. That's what it does. That's how they design it. They want you to come back. They want you to talk about it. They want you to tweet about it. They want you to get engaged in it. And that's what it's designed to do. It is not designed to help you make informed decisions. It's not designed to help you understand. You're like, well, that's pretty broad and kind of a big condemnation. Yes. How do you think we've wound up with some of the leadership we've had in this country, with some of the most educated our country's ever been, without a bunch of people that are being fed things that just are not actually helpful? So I know news can be a big deal. I just want to say that. And I like the news. I was an analyst in the Army, where my job for 2 or 3 years was just to analyze big picture government on government stuff between countries in Asia. Japan, North and South Korea, China. I loved it. It was so fun. It was so fun. What are these guys doing to mess with each other? Loved it. So fun. The gamesmanship was amazing. Incredible. I don't read the news a whole lot anymore just because it's so hard to find good information. And good information is wonderful. I love it. I love to actually know what's going on. I care. A lot. Actually, about what's going on internationally. Partially because I've gotten to spend some time overseas. Partially just because I think it's my, it's the same thing that makes me listen to rap music, because I want to understand. Reiterate, don't necessarily just go and listen to rap music. Okay, last thing. And this is probably, Okay, last thing. And this is probably the strongest thing that I'm going to say. So bear with me until the end on this one, okay? Strongest thing I'll say. In Jungle Book, the live action movie that came out a couple years ago, probably some of you guys saw it. I'm just curious, who's seen Jungle Book, the live action one? Okay, a chunk of us. Okay, so there's a point in the movie, and this is totally from a film perspective. You might have really enjoyed the movie and thought it was awesome, but I'm making a point purely from a filmic perspective here. There's a point in the movie where Shere Khan shows up and kills Mowgli's kind of adopted wolf dad, okay? And from that point on, nothing in the movie from a filmic story structure matters until Mowgli decides to come back. But unfortunately, Mowgli doesn't know that it happens for like another 30 or 45 minutes. And you're watching fun things with orangutans swinging around and singing, and it was entertaining and people really liked it. But from a story perspective, nothing mattered until Mowgli found out about his adopted dad. I think his adopted dad. And decides to come back to avenge him. Nothing in there matters. And I think in our life, we can believe that we can be in a space where nothing matters. That we're waiting for something to happen. We're waiting for our purpose. We're thinking that these 5 minutes or 2 seconds or whatever, we call it a minute, and it's probably actually 4.5, doesn't matter. All we have is our moments. When we get sad when people die or relationships end, it's because we thought there was going to be more that was going to happen that will no longer happen. And God says, no. I mean, he wants us to grieve. Don't get caught there. He wants us to grieve. He wants us to experience loss because it was never supposed to happen. But what mattered was what happened. Those were the moments I gave you. Those were the moments, the connect points that I gave you. And we get a lot of connect points that can be hard, that can be challenging with people that make us miserable or are hard to deal with, or I just want a break. But those moments are the things that God gave you. And we don't have these spans of time where nothing matters. We don't. God didn't make it that way. And so when you're looking at what you're consuming, what you're thinking about, is it helping you in those moments? Because we all face them, you know, are different things for different people. But from, you know, moments where I have to respond graciously to my kid, and I don't want to. And what I'm doing, helping win in those moments where I'm going to be harsh, where I'm going to get frustrated, when I need to lead spiritually and set an example, when I need to love people and I don't want to, when I'm tired. And I think it can be easy to start taking, you know, this thing, putting it underneath the microscope and sort of feel like, oh my gosh, this is so overwhelming. But there is a God that wants to make all those moments count. He wants you to lay down your life. He doesn't want you to, somehow the answer is not in taking a day for yourself to self-indulge in what you want to do. Now, God might have you do things. I don't know. That's you and him, and you and him can walk that out. But I just want you to ask those questions. Are you trying to defend where you are? Are you realizing this is actually impacting you? Are you living in the moments that God's giving you, or are we just half living in everything? We have I have a relative who is a little weird. But she has a connection with God that is different. I don't actually like talking to her. I feel like when she talks to me, she's like peering into my soul. She is focused. She is engaged. I know this woman has already prayed more than I ever will in my life. And in a world where we have to do things, we're not actually connected. There's something that we are missing, and there is a connection there that even as Christians, I think half the time we don't even have to give because we don't even have it with God ourselves. And so I just want you to ask those questions. Are you taking responsibility for your own spiritual growth? Well, there's Proverbs 31, which I know there's lots of other verses, but that one I feel like just abundantly clear is like, oh, yeah. Probably not a lot of Instagram in that house. Are you realizing that you have that level of spiritual responsibility for your wife now or the one that you're going to marry? Oh. Fortnite is probably not helping you get there. It's a lot of fun, though. Probably not helping you get there. So anyway, on that, ultimately, this stuff is all between you and God. But I want you to ask the questions. Are you just taking too much? Are you thinking about it like a donut? Or are you thinking about it like it doesn't matter? Are you actually owning your spiritual responsibility? Are you being in the moment with God, with the people you're around? Those are all those questions. I just ask. And it doesn't mean stop doing everything. Obviously, you know, the reason I listed all that stuff off at the beginning is I want you guys, I still engage in these mediums. So anyway, let's pray. God, you are good. You're wonderful. And ultimately, I just pray that's what we get out of this, is that we live in a world that's saturated with things that are meant to distract us. For the first time ever, the entire world can work together to design things to be perfectly distracting. Where addicting is a positive comment about a phone app. And I just pray you'd help us to see you for who you are. Believe that you've got something better than this. There must be more than this. And I just pray you would fill us up, that you would be the connection. This is not a legalism thing. This is not something where it's like, just do this, not that, da, 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 but that you can be a connect point for us that gives us hope, that gives us true rest, that gives us true peace. And I pray you grant us to us this week. Help us to look at it. Help us to look at it with you. This is not just something we're doing on our own in our own strength, but help us to sit and bring it to you. Because you're the one that wants to walk through. You didn't put us here to do things on our own. You put us here to do things with us. And God, I pray that we would be calm, wait for you, and seek you in all these things. Amen.